You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
Each month on the new moon, join the One Heart Song Global Prayer Network to focus on world harmony and happiness at 7:30 p.m., wherever you are in the world, for just 1 hour. We know each person and your individuality makes a greater impact. It can only change when we make it our intent. You are critical to that outcome. You count. Our focus is global harmony and happiness. We invite you to gather with the collective consciousness of like-minded individuals and begin your focus at 7:30 p.m. sharp in all time zones on the new moon. For more information, please visit our Facebook page at One Heart Song Global Prayer Network. Or you can come to our website at oneheartsongglobalprayernetwork.com. You count and can make the difference. Research shows meditation has always made a better outcome, and we can have peace and lift all suffering today, now, and your participation is the critical balance. Yes, you. You are the one. Join the thousands that are already doing it. Thought is energy, and focusing it to a greater effect is making it a reality. Please join us once again at oneheartsongglobalprayernetwork.com.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. This is Parisha, your host, and my co-host this week with me will be Rosemarie Heyer in Frankfurt, Germany. We have Geraldine Dalby-Ball in Sydney, Australia, and we have Trina Cooper in Denver, Colorado. And this week, Dr. Joyce will be joining us from Kingman, Arizona. And we're still finishing up our book with Fred Alan Wolf, in Mind into Matter. So we'll kind of be coming to a conclusion this week and have some open discussion on what some of us have done with our book and how well we've actually mastered a lot of the things that over the years Dr. Wolf has shared with us, especially in my life. I've used a lot of his particular passages and books to put things into place as I can work them and understand them. So we're going to actually start this week by going to the very final chapter in the back, and that's called Yod. And we're going to let Rosemarie start that by actually reading the caption on the first part of the page and taking us right into the first page in the chapter. Rosemarie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. This is Rose. Can you begin?
Yes. Yod. Yod represents the world of structures and is the opposite of Aleph. Those where Aleph was potential or able to be, Yod symbolizes being. Where Aleph was timeless and beyond any limit, Yod is in time and limited. So in a sense, Yod, being Aleph in existence, exists in a state of perpetual contradiction. For a paradoxical Aleph appears timeless and not existing, and yet not non-existent, while Yod is time-like and in existence. For as we become aware of existence, we change it.
Okay, that's a little hard to understand. So we will probably want to do some discussion on that because, yes, it sounds like a lot of contradictions for sure. Okay, and then we can go over to the first page, Existence, Mind in a Box. Go ahead, Rosemarie.
Yes, I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details. Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details. In contrast to the Newton classical laws of motion, quantum physics is not looking at actualities, but it's facing possibilities. And he's using the example of a flipping of a coin. And in the traditional classical laws of motion, we can see both sides. Either it would be face up or face down. And they would assign a probability of 50% that it would land on the head, or 50% that it would land on the tail, or face or number. So what happens is that you're basically just passive, and you are not able to control anything. There's no possibility. It's just this or that, black or white, period. But within the quantum physics, we have possibilities. And he's explaining this paradoxical concept by saying that we have two ways, the head and the tail, and when they interfere with each other, that can lead to new possibilities when they overlap in their movement or in their intent or in their motion and in their worlds. And he's saying that these two possibilities, which are either a head up or tail, combines that the coin could be standing on its edge. And of course, it's not going to happen and we don't see that, but nevertheless, it is a possibility when they both interfere with each other.
Okay. And how can you break that down in a better example, or have you thought about that enough to do that?
All I understand from this is that there's always another possibilities if you are in the imaginal realm, in the overlapping, in the interfering of the two present possibilities. That's all I understand, that there's something else which is coming out of the unknown which can happen.
Okay, and I can share with that, okay? I work with Wolf a lot, and it used to be I never could understand. When I first started studying Wolf stuff, I couldn't understand any of it, okay? So basically what I've come to know is what we've learned and the many other things we've shared on our book club here, like, the reality of the physics, the physical physics is, okay, positive or negative. And when I use that as my base, positive and negative, it's like, okay, it doesn't change. It's either positive or it's negative. But when I apply quantum physics, it actually gives me the ability to not change that it's positive or negative. It's not anything that actually interferes with that. It allows me to see that in the negative, there are things that can be positive. In the positive, there are things that we could be cautioned of that could become a negative. So, again, it's like in a recipe. If you say that it needs a half a cup, that would be its principle, and that would be staying within the positive. You're measuring the recipe, right? But say, just for some reason, you like butter so much, you're going to put a little bit more butter in there. What happens? It changes the whole recipe, okay? But then what's the good of that? You've changed and you've broken all the principles. It's now something different. But what's good about it is you like it like that. You like the butter taste. You like having more butter in the product. So with physics and with how he goes about, especially this particular introduction, while we can become very dogmatic with positive and negative, okay, the variances and the paradoxical things that he points up, which when he talks like he did in the first part, it's like I really have to almost take it a sentence at a time and work it through, okay? But at this point, what I've come to realize is when I use what I've just spoke to you about in how I deal with this, everything comes out 100%. I mean, there's never any sense of failure or wrong or right, It's just constantly handling that once you change something, everything changes. And what you do with it from that point, you still want it to come out as a positive. The only intentional negative would be if you had malice and really wanted to hurt something, okay? But at the same time, you would be making the choice of negative or hurtful. And with this, it's like, so if I go ahead and I put all the ingredients in this cake, okay, and I feel at that point I've honored all the principles, but then I'm aware that when I take the cake out, it's not quite as fluffy as I thought it would be. So it must have been that I used either too much oil or too much butter. And I would have to then consider what else is present. So because there's all these opportunities or possibilities, well, maybe the temperature outside is pretty hot today and my kitchen is pretty warm. And maybe that affected the temperature of my oven. Or maybe it's actually had some, you know, something that it influenced in actually mixing the cake mix together. So those possibilities is what he's talking about. It's they're always there. So that's while we're saying it's this or that, it has all these other things that could influence it to where it becomes something totally different. And if we look at life and we stay positive and we say we want to be positive, which means our body systems and the whole level of our body is more alkaline than acidity, okay, then we're actually looking at it. And when something is very, very bad or something is very painful and all those kind of descriptions, it's up to you and I to look at it and find the good in it. And that's what's taken my life into such areas of absolute love and respect. Every day has been a celebration in my life because I don't care how drastic it is or how I didn't get a moment I could think it's horrible. I take that thought right out and I immediately find something that I can identify with and actually see the love in it and the presence in it. And I've often shared the story of being in Tibet when there was actually the changeover of the Chinese regime at that point. And people were meditating, and it had been forbidden that they could meditate. And so the soldiers, because the people wouldn't comply and get up and stop meditating, they opened fire on them and shot some people. Well, in the shooting, one of the bullets had actually hit one of the babies in the mother's arms. And I so felt that. I felt that from every cell in my body, I felt that. And I went to her because I saw her crying and looking at her baby and crying, and I started crying. And I went to her to just try to console her, just be there with her. And she looked and she saw me crying, and she reached up and took the tears off my cheeks and it made this very pitiful smile and actually said to me that she wished me no suffering. And I mean, in the midst of whatever this massacre was trying to be, there is this one place, and don't you know, I'm going to find it because I'm saying there's got to be something beneficial here. And so when I saw what she was doing and all the other people were actually getting so enraged, they were thinking about actually attacking or fighting back, and I knew there'd be far more killed. I immediately had my friend who spoke Chinese and Tibetan and actually tell them, let us all gather with this woman and her child and actually turn our energy to helping that instead of feeling the anger and furthering the damage. And everybody understood. And everybody went back into a sitting position, and the guards wouldn't shoot anymore because they realized it was the baby. And so with all of that, it's like I'm still friends with her. And it's like, in that moment, I watched how, I can't say I was different. I wanted to get up and actually fight back. I mean, when you know, with what I saw them doing was unbelievable to me, and I had no place to put it in positive or negative. I just felt rage. And in that level of rage, I had to find something, and that's what he means by, you know, it's the paradoxical, the intensity of the confusion is right there. You've got all these possibilities. But with her, at that moment, willing to give up her pain and her suffering to make sure I didn't have any, that has changed my life. And so when no matter what I'm looking at, I can find something that will actually show me that there's a greater lesson of love and compassion in all the things I call the positive things. And that's up to you and I, okay? It's out there. It's what, you know, Wolf's point is it's out there, and you have to be the one that's determining where you're going to go with it. And that's where we end up not having the successes we want, because it's very easy to fall into such a pattern of wanting to get up and hit back or do some of the more common knee-jerk kind of reactions we have. But we as spiritual beings, or we as people who are moving toward life coaching and finding better ways to deal with our situations. You know, when we know it's all out there, it's going to depend on who you are. That's how it votes. And that's the point I think Dr. Wolf makes very, very strongly in everything that he teaches in his books. Okay, we're going to move over to one more. By the way, is there any of you co-hosts that want to add anything to that?
This is Geraldine in Sydney, Australia, and I feel what I would be adding is also in these additional pages starting on 144. So I won't jump in right yet. I'll wait to that page.
Okay. So you're going to go over? You're next?
Yes. So I was really listening to what you were saying there, and it's interesting because in my side margins around the book, the positive and the negative is what I had drawn, and a positive and negative next to each other with a circle around it. And what it comes, how it leads on from that on this page 144, Fred Alan Wolf starts with telling us the possibility is only realized when it is observed. So from that story, what I'm hearing is the possibility of such generousness to wish good thoughts in a time of suffering. That allowed that possibility to be observed because it was observed, and therefore it brought it into action. And he says here how that's called the observer effect. It's there because we see it. Now, we have other interpretations as we go through this page, and I'll talk about the figure that's on that page, and that's figure A1, which is a cube or a grey piece. And so as we're going through the information here, what it's really telling us is, okay, as an observer, we can choose, like we've just heard, we can choose to see a positive or choose to see a negative. That's like us looking at the square, which is the white outline. I'm not going to call it a cube yet. We look at one of the squares. Say we look at the square that's in the bottom left-hand corner, and then we tell our brain that square is in front of the rest of the white lines, and allow that square at the front, in the bottom left-hand corner, to come to the front. And then our brain can tell us, yes, we're looking at a cube that is pointing downwards. Likewise, we can then say to ourselves, okay, there is a white square that's located in the upper right-hand corner. I'm now going to tell my brain that that white square is in front of everything else. And now I'm looking inside a cube where the entrance is actually higher up, and I'm looking down into the cube. There's also the possibility that we choose, and this again is choosing, not to see either square as present, not to see it as a cube, but to see the white lines on the black line, on the grey line. And it's a great example in that it's saying what we are looking at there is we could either observe it's a down-facing cube, that's one possibility. We can observe that it's an up-facing cube, that's another possibility. Or we can choose the interference of them, which is when we don't have a cube at all. We have something different. And through this page, 144 and 145, we're being shown, the top of 145 here says, you know, that there is, through this act of observation, there's also the possibility that there's the interacting of the two worlds. And it said that it becomes a real box with one side when we look at it. So the act of observation allows that merger of either box at the front or box at the back, or the interaction, which is the white and grey lines. And so what we're seeing here in real life is often you hear the word perspective. What perspective do you take in an argument? What perspective do you present in a case? And it's showing us that that word perspective is what we'd call this. What perspective do I take? The box down, the box up? Or am I just being neutral and I'm not creating anything? I'm just being present. And we hear from the pages that this is a choice that we do. And importantly, as we go down partway through 145, there's an interpretation that says there's nothing special about seeing a box forward or a box backwards in its own right, but to acknowledge that it's you who are the many yous. So for this, I needed to draw myself, me number one, looking at box type A, me number two, looking at box type B, me number three, allowing them both to interact. So this is an example of what they're calling the many worlds, the many parallel worlds. So what it's saying is if it can exist, it does. So it's not just box A or just box B or just the white lines. It's all three of them, but in three separate worlds. And you, or I say it to myself, I am in those three separate worlds. So which world do I choose to be in? So that's that part way down 145 where we bring in this many worlds interpretation. And then it says, how do you prove that other worlds exist? And it doesn't really necessarily give an example. I mean, give a proof to say, okay, how do you prove it? Except to say, well, look at it. If you're looking at option A, which is, as I mentioned, the box in the lower left-hand corner popping forward, a downward-facing box, if you're looking at that, you cannot at the same time say, I'm definitely also seeing a box that faces down. You see one or the other. So then it says, well, that's proof. It's this or it's that. So that's what he says here. Both position states cannot exist in a single world, but the overlap can. So we're saying in this one space, so I can see the white lines and the gray. And that's that interference of the two. And it then goes right at the end of the page to say, if you choose to see a box, you choose not to see the gray. You choose not to see the interference pattern. And it concludes, just a little note there, though. It's really interesting for me when I read that in terms of how to apply it, is that if I am set in my ways and I say, no, it's a box facing downwards, I won't even know to see that there's a box facing upwards, let alone that it's an interference pattern that could be so much more than a box either way. So that being set, being stuck in your ways and only seeing that, I think it's interesting he uses a box because we'll often say you've got to get out of your box, get out of your same routine way of thinking. So this shows us that there are other ways. And in concluding on page 146, where again, there's a physicist here, John Archibald Wheeler, who says, look, this really does contradict common sense. Be okay with it. He says, take it seriously, which is like, well, look, there's really something to this. And again, it's if the possibilities affect each other by overlapping. So if two or more possibilities somehow add up to produce a single world, then somehow these possibilities must each manifest somewhere else. They must both be real. And again, I needed to draw my picture that says, here's me number one, looking at option A, box down is real. Me number two, box looking up, B is real. Me number three, the interaction of it all potentially being anything, not necessarily a cube either way, is real. So that takes us to that opportunity where we can look at positive and negative in the same beingness. They're interacting. And then it's up to us to draw from that interaction which of those worlds do we not only put our observation in, but we put ourselves in. And that's where I'll complete.
Yeah, that's really good. And on that box, I want to share that in working with some what I call the ultraviolet children, these kids are way far ahead of most of us at my age anyway, they actually took paper and cut every one of these. They cut white lines and so that they could actually piece it together as a box. They took the black parts that are inside and they took the black parts that are outside. And so they took black construction paper and white paper, and they actually put the dots and the white things on them. And so when they took the white paper and they just put the black pieces on it, I was blown away with what all they could do in showing that, and it because it was in separate pieces, and they were doing it on, because this is, they were actually involving the dimensionalization at that time, because now it's not a flat page that you're looking at. They actually have these parts on another flat page, which would be the first dimension, okay? Then they bring it into second and third dimension by actually taking the pieces and putting together on the white paper, and then they take the pieces and put them together on the black paper. And I could only tell you do it because I don't have words to explain to you the tremendous change of seeing how you could do this and what really happens in your brain in order for you to do it. Because, I mean, when they handed it to me and asked me to participate with them, at first I didn't know where to go with them pieces, okay? It's like, okay, I'm looking at the picture, but I don't know where to start, you know, and so forth and on. I had all these, and then just watching one of them flip it together and actually put it on the black and the white paper, then I grasped it and did it. And in doing it, I'm aware that something's happening in my brain when I'm doing it. And I realize I'm actually feeling the dimensionalization of this box by actually taking these pieces and constructing it on the first dimensional level of just a flat page. You know what I mean? So it really is something you want to work with. And once you actually train your brain to do that jump back and forth, then you're going to see even more what Geraldine has shared with us here, as well as Rosemary, what possibilities we don't see and what options we don't take, because we're still just looking at it as this flat thing or this one-dimensional thing. And once you take it apart, start working these parts, I mean, they were able to flip this box over to where you were looking at it from where on the page, the back become the front and so forth. And it was like, oh, my goodness. And they would just flip it together real fast. So you want to actually play with that and see. Because once you start doing it, I watched how after that I would see things and how I would flip them. I would actually flip something and see how I would see it instead of just this one way. And then I realized, like, once the brain grabs that, it just starts doing it. When I'm driving along and I'm just thinking, I'll catch myself doing it with the lines on the road or the horizon or something. And then it's like, it brings it into closer dimension or further dimension. And you really want to work with that, because he actually asks you in the book to work with it. And once you do, you really advance yourself very fast with it. Okay, let's go now to Joyce on 146.
Yes, I'm here. So on page 146, he goes on a little bit farther, helping us realize there is, we limit ourselves for sure, as we've already discussed, but by the overlapping of some of these details, we create a whole different picture. And when we stay stuck in only accepting one perspective, then we don't even allow our brain to do what Parashar has just spoken of, that even driving down the road, you can take parts of what you're looking at and use this whole factor. So in the many worlds interpretation, an observer can see the box and interact with the box, and then does that, first of all, in a predictable way, and then by changing how observing it, then you can see the parallel worlds actually having similar factors in them, but actually overlapping. So what I saw from that is that this gives us the opportunity to realize we have the potential of stepping into both of those parallel worlds or a number of parallel worlds.
Exactly.
And feeling the effect that is there and using it actually as guidelines for things that we want to do in the parallel world that we're focused on the most. So it's pretty exciting. And then he goes on to show with different eyes here on the top of page 147 how you can have a cube and have a second observer with black eyes and one observer with gray eyes in two different parallel worlds, combining their views and then getting a similar result. And I have a note here about the glass half empty and half full. And it really relates to this because you either stay stuck in thinking you're only in this one world and nothing else exists, or you increase your awareness by practicing and gradually, bit by bit, allowing yourself to be effective in more than one world. So the challenge is there. And then he explains how Bohr, who was a quantum physicist, gave the whole interpretation that the direction of the box will instantly quantum leap depending on what your perspective is. So with an open perspective and recognizing that the two perspectives exist there, then you can see that leap. But without that understanding or that awareness, you would stay seeing just one box, like Geraldine covered so very well. And then you can have even another observer, and on top of page 148, he shows that now you can have overlap of two or more observers seeing the same thing and having an overlap. So the third observer comes along, and we get what Dr. Wolf is calling consensus reality, because there's agreement that happens that what is being seen, the three observers are all agreeing on. And that goes back to the principle of when you have an observer, you can affect the state of something. So now we have three observers agreeing and can then create an effect. So that's a really important message here for us. And that takes us to the end of page 148.
All right, so from here on in, I'm going to ask the co-host to actually come in for open discussion and finalize whatever it is you actually find in these last couple of pages, whoever and any of you. Trina, where are you at with what you can give us on 149? You want to share that?
Sure. The one thing that popped in my head really quickly was that in all of this, he's really telling us we can think outside the box, that there's so many perspectives. And on 148 and 149, he really brings forward the fact that there are all these different observers can look at things the one way and agree one way. However, when interference occurs, when something overlaps, it can be tricky, and the observers themselves are the complex, the tricky pieces of it, because we're seeing different possibilities, and we're caught in these parallel worlds looking at these different perspectives. So if we could create that perfect overlap between them and everyone could see that gray, then we would, there would be this new possibility. And he's also bringing into the fact that we have all these observers inside ourselves. So as we begin to look at things, and I think one of the most important things to come out of this is that there, the awareness of the other worlds, that we need to be aware all the time that these others exist, and what we choose and what we see is important, but the awareness of it and knowing that it exists and that there's these other possibilities, that's where we can really make the difference and create that change. And so then he brings up, suppose we have a memory of that original box. And he said in Newtonian world, the two memories would agree all the time. It's either going to be up or it's going to be down. There's not going to be something different. And the world is one way or the world is the other way. And that's the way a lot of people see things in the world. But you're never quite sure, since we're dealing with the quantum, there's all these other possibilities. So it's not black and white like in the Newtonian world. It definitely has the shades of gray in it. So that kind of brings us over to, there was a graphic on page 149 of all the eyes being caught in the parallel world, looking at it one way, looking at it another. And then on the top of page 150, the graphic A5 talks about this gray eye observer observing the black eye observer while the black eye observer observes the cube. And the gray eye observer, they come into this with the black eye, come in contact with this mysterious, paradoxical gray cube. And at this point in time, the gray eye observer only sees the two worlds together, only sees this almost like a mixed point of view instead of one way or the other way. And so it really does bring us, once we have that awareness, it brings us into that world of all possibilities.
Yes, it does. And very, very definitely. Go ahead.
I think it's amazing to recognize and be aware of the fact that all of these exist at the same time, especially when you're working in groups of people. You choose what you want to see, and by you explaining or seeing it or holding that space with a lot of people, you can really have an impact and effect on the way everybody perceives. As soon as, what does it say, when two or more are gathered, it becomes much more potent, much more effective. And in this particular thing, I can see where when two or more are gathered, how it can really change the way things happen.
Okay. All right. And in that, like, it's sharing with what the children did with the black and the white stripes and the black pieces that they had done. Every time that I was with them and when we were doing that, you become aware that something has changed. However detailed you may get or may not get on it, you are aware that something is different. So, you know, when you teach the brain how to actually do that jump and actually, you know, change the position you're looking at it. I reference often that, you know, when I'm talking in business or whatever, that we're all looking at the elephant from a different position, so we're seeing a totally different picture than the person who's standing up front, you know, and you see the trunk, and this person just sees the foot, and so forth and on. And that's exactly that. I use that example because of this, okay? And like Trina has shared, when you actually have people sharing the different perspective of something, you are seeing parallel worlds overlap. This person is in some other aspect of it. And with the whole story of the woman in Red Square when the baby was shot, she shifted us all. I mean, you didn't have soldiers shooting guns anymore. You had soldiers looking to see if they couldn't find aid. You saw them lay their guns down. You know, everything flipped. And we can do that in every circumstance. That's why I like the example I gave you. It's like, you make the choice. If I don't want this to be a horrible scene, okay, I got to do something. I got to find something here I can flip. I can put it in a different perspective. I can make it something that I need it to be. It's my experience. I'm the observer. I can make it what I need it to be. And in that, I can change and actually affect other people's perception of it. And when you listen to the fact that HeartMath has actually already published to a great extent that how even when we stand close to each other and we can actually monitor and change each other's heartbeat. And so anybody standing within 10 feet of you, you will actually, they'll synchronize, the heartbeats actually synchronize. So when I use that, especially to my good when we're on planes, airplanes, and then really highly congested areas, I actually start using that in what I do with Nuwati and can actually help it become a better situation. And especially like in the event that I'm on an airplane and whilst that the air is circulating, we're all actually breathing in each other's out-breath. And I have, because I can see things that others can't see, I have a problem with that. I really do. And I've tried all kinds of things that I've thought to use with it. most of the time it startled other people, so I had to adjust the way I was handling it. So then I realized that I simply got an ionizer, I think they call it. It puts off negative ions. And I would sit this on my chest, and it was like on a string that you put around your neck. And then I would inhale the negative ions so that I knew that I was breathing in good air. And then I would simply look and focus myself on people I could see from my seat and watch their breathing patterns change to mine. And it's really astonishing if you do it. You really want to do this. You know, even if you're sitting in a bus station or restaurant I do it in, anywhere there's a bunch of people, and I realize being in that congested space and all of our auras overlapping, I want it to be a healthy experience. You know, and I realize that, you know, you're sitting here with people of all kinds of persuasions, so where are you going to go? So as the observer, I begin to actually resonate out and flip exactly what he's showing you can do in this box. And I realized that I turned the whole situation into what I wanted to be as the observer, and that everything is in good health and everything's going well. And I've had so many, and I'm not going to go into them, but so many instances there were people around me in a restaurant and everything actually starts making comments about something that they're experiencing and something that's happened that's different, or they'll ask if anybody else is aware of something, you know. And I just sit there quietly and smile because I realize they've actually picked up on what I just did. And so you can actually do this in every part of your life. Again, it comes back to us, the observer. How, if you're a negative person and you see the negative, you're just reinforcing it. And you're actually creating more negativity in the parallel existences. But if you decide you're this person and that you're only going to live in harmony, and that you really know you can actually participate in something, because this is available to us all. This doesn't mean you had to be born with high perspective or psychic powers or anything. This is a physical energy practice, and everybody can do it. And at that point, then we begin to change things to meet more the perspective that we're in, and you can do that by simply being able to do that flip, find something that you can actually change or see different. I look for what I can see different, and as soon as I see it different, everything begins to move with it. So it's really doable what he's got here. It really is, and you can do it on so many levels. Like on our show, we advertise the new moon meditation that we do. And one of the messages that we do try to get out to everybody is it doesn't matter where you're at, who you are, that we're not going to, you know, let anybody's concern about not everywhere on the earth is at 7:30 p.m. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's 7:30 wherever you're at, and you can flip that to where it's the focus is on 7:30 and all of us are together at this precise moment. We don't have to look at the clock and decide what all of the time zones are. And that knowing you, me, each one of us have an influence. You change things. You know, if you walk into a room, okay, the room is different because now you're in the room. If you're walking outside along the trees or the path or anything, everything begins to have its effects with you. So if you're saying you want world peace, then you get with a consciousness like what we're doing on the new moon, and you actually contribute to that. You actually can flip. We can actually flip the situation to where we don't have concerns that we're going to go to war with Iran, or that somebody needs to die, or a disease has taken over, all of the probabilities. You know, there's so much that's evidence of what we can do, each one of us. That's the gift, I think, that Wolf gives us in his books, and especially in this Mind into Matter. Okay, it really is up to us, and it is up to us to let it be positive or negative or enhancing or depleting. It's up to us. And that you come to a place in doing this. I have no question that I live in I just keep jumping parallel worlds. You know, I can when I step back and see something, I can actually determine if it's going to be my experience, if I look back at it and it's going to look like that. I've played with all of this over these 48 years, and you have to do is just start playing with it and starting to notice that you do this. And when we finally master it in ourselves, we become a very powerful impact in this world. And I truly trust with everything I know and have done that every one of us is that. There are no particulars anybody. We're all the chosen. And it's that moment that we have to actually accept that and be the chosen. And then we live that way. Okay, I'm going to open. Let's let our host, all of our co-hosts share with it. So when you're reading and you've actually studied the rest of these pages, where are you at with all of this? I'm kind of sharing all the things I get out of it, but where have all of you gone with that? Where have you changed? Have you seen? Mm-hmm. Are you actually acknowledging that this has made a difference for you? Any one of you, you don't have to wait for the order.
This is Joyce. What came to me very clearly as we worked through this last piece of Dr. Wolf's book was that it isn't just that we're in a same pattern day after day. We are the observer, and we're actually making a choice over and over again to make the same choice so that when we recognize that what we observe is what we will create, then we can very definitely decide, well, the sameness hasn't worked, so we're not going to recreate it again. We're going to choose what we're going to focus on today and be in a parallel world that will have a different outcome.
Yep. Okay. Anybody else?
This is Geraldine in Sydney, Australia. And yes, for me, there's two perspectives that I'm personally working with in life. And one is from the perspective of being an ecologist or a person who does work in the environment, and that there is a global look towards how are we caring for the earth. And this look can either be from the perspective of we've got 12 years, we're wrecking everything, it's going to be destroyed, this is all happening. Or we can look in the movies, this new movies come out, this one called 2040, which is just a whole lot of seeding the mindset that there are really good things happening and we can do things at any moment. We could do that flip. We could care for the earth. Yes, there's still changes, there's earth changes, but how do we come about to the right mental approach to this? And I think now, especially as we have a lot of young people around the globe doing their March days or March for Climate, being what they are for, I think there's an extra role and responsibility to be in touch with that and say, okay, what are these young people actually asking for? How does that vision look? And how can we be part of that flip? And as it says here in the book, there's a, you know, we could call it the collective consciousness. There is this almost infection of ideas. So how do we have a role that helps seed, wow, we can use solar, or we can grow this sort of food, or we can do this sort of transport. There are solutions already there. So how do each one of us who are interested in earth care be the flip that changes conversations, changes mindsets, seeds the solutions wherever we are? That's one thing I'm working with. And the other one that I see very frequently is in everyday business with a group of people. When there's 50 staff, there's different perspectives. When there's an office of 10 people, there's different perspectives. So instead of seeing myself as different from, coming back to the point where, okay, I've observed something which is, it's a different top of the box. It's a different perspective, but that it's still part of me. And even just that I noticed, I know it is part of me, because if it wasn't part of me, I wouldn't notice. So then it's really gently taking away, making positive and negative of things. Well, I like this and I don't like that, or we accept this and we don't accept that. It's more saying, okay, this is present. Now what do we do with it? And it's not going reducing it to the common, you know, common denominator, but if your role is to be the person to influence change, yes, come back to that grey area, as they said, come back to where you haven't popped the boxes up or down. It's almost like going to the void, going to the place where everything's possible. And in that place, allow yourself to be
not biased to a particular outcome, and then to hear information. So you're not in the void anymore. You're gathering information from many perspectives.
Wonderful.
And then be determined. Be determined.
Okay.
Flip it.
All right. Now, do we have anybody else? We've got a short 3-4 minutes here.
This is Rosemary from Germany. I just wanted to say that the focus on the end was really something which underlined, again, my experience of creation, that he's saying that the end actually is important to create the whole process, to come to the beginning. So when you focus on the end, and he's calling that continuously giving attention by mind, and that is what he's actually calling intent. So focusing on the end creates the whole story, and focusing on the future creates the whole story. When I focus on that, the rest falls in place. That was one important part for me.
Okay, very, very good, and I thank all of you. I feel we've all actually dealt with this book at night. I've read this book a number of times. I've worked with groups with this book a number of times, but each time, it actually creates a discovery for me. And like I told you, it's just about chapter 7 is almost like the Bible to me. I'll go back to that anytime I feel I'm getting off center with anything. So I appreciate all that you've given us. But we're really going to see if we can't get Dr. Wolf to join us and actually do some time with us next week when we come back on, okay? And what we're going to do is our new book coming up is one that Trina Cooper has recommended. And Trina, you want to tell us what that is?
Well, the name of the book is called Being Peace, and it's by Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a monk, a Buddhist monk, but very involved in the peace movement, so much so that Martin Luther King actually nominated him for a Nobel Peace Prize for the work that he did. And this book, Being Peace, is really wonderful because it's really about changing from the inside out and creating peace in yourself, creating peace in the world. And I don't know, it moved me when I read it the very first time. He's written many books. Peace is Every Step, The Miracle of Mindfulness, which I love that one too because he said, when you drink tea, just drink tea. Be mindful. It's wonderful. And Touching Peace. And so in this, he discusses the importance of being peace in order to make peace. And I think it's a beautiful book, and it changes perspective, just like we were just talking about. You find an awareness, you make a choice, and you can change your perspective on anything. And this is really, it's a beautiful book.
Okay, very, very good. So we'll go with next week, actually seeing if we can get our friend Fred Allen Wolf to come on and give us a few minutes in summing up his book. And if Fred is booked as he usually is, we'll have to move right on into our new book. So let's make sure you all have it and go to your bookstore or go into Amazon or however you use your tech books, okay, the e-books and stuff. So we'll look for you next week. Meanwhile, we want you to have a wonderful week and all good things. OCO.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.